in existence.
I think probably no more than half, a dozen or half dozen, I would think. They're rarely seen.
They're rarely seen. Apple One.
On the face of it, not too impressive, but
this is the cassette interface. And you had to go and buy a keyboard, a surplus keyboard, just from some surplus place. And then you had to figure out how to wire it to your Apple One.
Mm-hmm.
So it came without a keyboard. And so if you didn't have a solder, you couldn't run your Apple One. Then you had to build the power supply for it. See those transformers there. So you had to go to your surplus place or whatever. And buy a couple of transformers and wire them to together. Bother to pack and unpack. They have the Apple One. That's what you got. A bunch of pieces which you soldered together to make yourself. It came as a kit. You know, the little chips separate.
Yeah.
And you soldered them all. And you could. And here's an area where you could add your own hardware. And then here's an area where you could put in a different CPU.
Show me the hardware area again.
This is the hardware area. This is sort of a little breadboard.
A little pinout thing.
Right. And which I used to, when I built accessories to it, I wouldn't put them on the board. I'd build them outboard. And
is that the 6502 there?
Yep. You could build it with a 6800 instead.
Right.
You could put the parts over here.
Right.
And these were not serial numbered or anything of that sort. This one has no idea which of the 200 this is.
How much memory is on that?
I think 16 kbytes.
Probably max, yeah.
This one's max that. I've always believed in having as much memory as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the reasons I'm so annoyed at Andy Hertzfeldt's books, which said I didn't want maximum memory in the. I didn't want more memory and more CPU power in the Macintosh. What he didn't understand is that it wasn't in the budget.
Hey, they came out with a $500 Macintosh. It only took 25 years after you proposed it.
That's a slip machine.
You saw that the Times picked up the history, that bit of history there?
Yeah. Yeah. So, why is your camera seeing you?
We're trying to delete pictures as well. The stick is full. We'll get another stick. So you, did you get one as being somebody at Apple, or did you?
I got one because in 1976, I ran into them and I was going to write manuals for them. And so they gave me one, so I have something to write a manual about.
Right.
And this is the one that was handed to me by Woz himself.
Because we got Woz's notes from 77 for the Apple II and made this, mm-hmm. David Craig and I made this Woz Wonder Book thing. Mm-hmm. So this would have, there you would have been, had made the notes for this one.
Mm-hmm.
So were you involved in the original documentation of the Newton's Apple?
A long time.
Yeah.
I wrote a lot of documentation for them. How they used it, I don't remember.
Mm.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, it is.
So that's an Apple One.
How long after this was it before you had your first Apple II?
That was 78. That was 2 years, I guess.
Yeah. Well, they launched it in West Coast Computer Fair in 77, but there wasn't any documentation until January 78 when the Red Book came out. And then the cassette interface came out in the spring of 78.
This is the one for the Apple One.
That's the Apple One cassette interface.
Yes.